This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, a look at the pop-up party series Tinderbox and what it's up to next. But first, when it comes to taking out loans for a car, higher education, or other needs, it's important to be informed about the lending process. Otherwise, it's easy to fall into an increasing spiral of debt. Next Friday, the University of Cincinnati hosts an event called Dodging the Debt Trap. UC Law professors Emily Ho and Kristen Kalsom join us today with advice for avoiding falling into financial traps and predatory lending. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kristen and Emily, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
Kristen, what is predatory lending? How do you define it?
Well, predatory lending is not just short-term lending, because everyone or many people are going to have a need to take out a short-term loan at some point. But what makes it predatory is when the interest rates, for example, are astronomically high, when the idea behind the making of the loan oftentimes is that the person is not going to be able to pay back the loan, so there'll be a fee charged to roll the loan over. And so the predatory nature of it is kind of almost seeking out borrowers to borrow either more money than they can afford to pay back, or to kind of get them caught in what is a cycle of debt.
And how high, when you talk about high interest rates, how high are you talking about?
So for the average payday loan, it's 300% APR, annual percentage rate. The online payday loans can be up to 600%. So very, very high.
And keep in mind that on credit cards, you know, on the sort of typical consumer credit card, the APR is anywhere between 19 to 27 or 26%, which is already considered to be quite high in the 20s. So, you know, a 300% or triple digit APR is really, really excessive.
But does Ohio have a law that says there's only so, do they cap interest rates? Don't they tell you you can only charge so much?
We have a very interesting legal situation in Ohio. So many of your listeners will probably remember in 2008, the legislature passed a really excellent piece of legislation to try to regulate these kinds of short-term payday loans. And the legislation passed. And it, for example, included a 28% interest rate, which is a rate that takes into account you might need to charge a higher rate because of a risk factor. But that amount was 28%. It also included some other very thoughtful provisions, not allowing someone to take out more than a certain number of loans a year, for example. We still have that legislation in Ohio, but not one entity is regulated by it, because as soon as it was passed, the payday lenders found another act, an older act, a mortgage lending act, which, reading the definition under that act of who can be regulated under that, they managed to fit within that definition, which actually was argued all the way up to the Ohio Supreme Court. And in 2014, in what in effect was a court decision reading a statute, it was determined that, yes, they did qualify as the type of lenders who could be organized under that statute, which has no regulation of these issues at all. So the concurring opinion in the 2014 court opinion, while they had to agree with the decision because of kind of the plain reading of the statute, said there has to be something wrong here when we have a piece of legislation that regulates nobody.
Right. So Ohio is in a very strange position for being a state known for having a very strong regulation of payday lenders that, you know, in terms as a model for the rest of the country, yet no payday lenders are covered by that statute.
I think it's something we should point out. Predatory lending isn't illegal, right? I mean, there's not a law against it. Correct?
Correct. The people who are charging those kinds of interest rates, the law that regulates them doesn't have any kind of cap. And I think most of your listeners, a lot of people think we have effective regulation in Ohio, and we don't.
Are there any efforts to beef up the regulation? Is there anything underway in the legislature?
Well, that's a really great question. You know, there was a lot of organizing and political capital that was spent on what still is the Short-Term Lending Act. That's what it's called. And You know, that fight was really difficult at a statewide level. And, you know, right now it's I don't think there are any efforts that are viable to sort of get the state legislature to take that on again, because, you know, there's an act. It's out there. And there is, at this moment that we know of, no real viable effort to change the Mortgage Lending Act that the most of the payday lenders are now governed by.
Well, payday lending is just one aspect of this. I mean, there are all kinds of other predatory lending practices, aren't there?
Yes.
And what would those be?
So our conference that we're having on Friday, and one of the things we really would like your listeners to hear is it's a free conference. It's from 8:30 to 3:30. People can come for as long as they want. We are really hoping that people who have borrowed either payday loans, predatory student loans, or car title loans, which are the three topics that we're covering, would come to the conference. There's many national activists, statewide activists, local activists, including borrowers who are going to be on our panels. The wonderful thing would be to get people who are actually caught in this debt trap to be working to be part of the solution. Their knowledge, their expertise is something that has not been part of the conversation. And in drafting any kind of solutions, it's really important to hear from the people who really will have some of the best answers as to what would be helpful.
Right. So so there are many other forms of predatory lending. Payday lending is sort of the one that probably most people have heard of. But we're, as Kristen mentioned, we'll also have a panel on car title loans where folks get a small dollar short-term loan where they hand over their car title as collateral for that loan. And what Kristen can speak actually more, she knows a lot about sort of the repossession process. But, you know, cars are pretty easy to repossess as collateral. And so this is a really impactful kind of loan when people default, because for lots of folks, their automobile is their only asset they have. And so once that's gone, you know, that affects not only their sort of wealth, their net wealth, but it also impacts their ability to get to work, their ability to get around, to drive their kids around to where they need to be. And, it can be very devastating to lose your car when you needed a $500 loan, you know, that you defaulted on.
Yeah, speaking as someone who in my younger days actually did a car title loan, it served a purpose. I mean, I got the money at the time, but I think I ended up paying, it was almost 10 years on a car that I should have had paid off in
right.
4 years is what ended up happening.
So right.
Yeah.
That was the difficulty.
A very common story.
Very common. And what you said actually emphasized something that we want to make really clear. You know, we completely understand that people have needs to take out small dollar short-term loans. And, you know, this conference is not an attempt to sort of take away that resource. It's more to get, educate folks about predatory lending practices that get people into a cycle of debt that is very expensive to pay off and that many people can't pay off. And, you know, we think that it's important for people to have that there need to be lenders making loans that people can pay off, that they can manage, that where there's an end date in sight, where there are reasonable installment payments. That's what they need. But what ends up happening is something very different.
And there are going to be some people speaking at our conference on alternative financial resources that either are available or certain kinds of advocacy steps that could be taken to try to make those kinds of lenders more available.
You know, the phrase that comes to my mind as you're talking about all these things is that people, buyer beware. People need to really be on their toes with this and know have as much knowledge as they can going in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really interesting point. You know, that people do need to understand what the terms of the loan that they're taking out are. But a lot of times what happens is that, some folks don't have a lot of choices, right? So many of us who are white-collar professionals, we could get a loan from our bank. If we needed a short-term loan, we can use our credit card, which is really a form of lending. You know, we have family members or that we can kind of access. For a lot of folks, they don't have those kinds of choices. The thing that makes these small dollar short-term loans very attractive to people is that there's no underwriting involved. That is, there's no credit checking to see. There's no checking to see if these folks can pay off a loan, right? Which is one of the things that make them really appealing. It's interesting, having talked to a lot of borrowers in the past, borrowers actually tend to have a pretty good understanding of what the actual loan term is that they're taking out. What ends up happening is the rollover is where things really start to become problematic.
You know, the rollover.
The rollover meaning that, so for a payday loan, for example, what you do is you write a check that's postdated to the date of when your next paycheck is coming. And then you get advanced money on that. And then when the paycheck comes in, money is taken out of that paycheck. You're supposed to, you know, pay the loan off with that money. But the money from the paycheck is being used to cover a lot of other expenses, monthly expenses. And so usually you don't have enough to pay off, even when you get your paycheck, that loan. So what ends up happening is you extend the loan. You pay another fee for that. You extend the loan so you continue to keep paying on that loan. And sometimes in addition to that, you're encouraged to take out yet another loan, right? And because there's sort of a discrepancy between what folks can actually afford to pay back and what they're getting paid, it becomes a real problem in terms of kind of extending, you know, putting them, as we say, in this cycle or this trap or this treadmill of debt.
And is it when you end up in that rollover that you end up in the triple-digit interest rates?
Yes, absolutely.
And I just recently saw a statistic which I wanted to bring and mention because I think sometimes we've all heard about 300, 400, 500% annual percentage rates, which kind of makes you not pay that much attention. So Pew Charitable Trust is coming to our conference, and their recent study gave this example, which really brought it home to me. Approximately 12 million Americans use payday loans, and in doing that, they'll spend an average of $520 in fees to pay back a $375 loan. And that's the average. So someone who might be borrowing $375, by the time they renew it over and over and over again and pay the fee, they have paid $520.
They've paid more than what they borrowed in the first place.
Absolutely. Oh, my heavens. Exactly.
We will continue our conversation with law professors Emily Hu and Kristen Kalsom. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. They have advice for dodging the debt trap. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. University of Cincinnati law professors Emily Hu and Kristen Kalsom join us today with advice for dodging the debt trap. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Ho. I'm sorry.
That's
Emily.
Okay. I'm used to
Emily
it.
Emily Ho. I'll get it by the end of the show. You can email talk at wvxu.org or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we've talked about payday lending and car title loans. What, as far as the mortgage industry, what kind of predatory lending practices are going on out there with home mortgages?
That's actually the silence that you hear is that that's actually not one
not
of the
not a problem not, area. Not,
well, it is a problem area,
yes.
Absolutely. But it's not one of the things that we focus on as researchers because we tend to focus on the short term small dollar loan.
Okay.
So to the extent that mortgage lenders are kind of the opposite of that, they're sort of long-term, large-dollar loans. We don't know quite as much about that, but there's certainly a lot of work that's been done by local organizations. The Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati has been doing great work on dealing with the fallout of the mortgage lending crisis of 2008, and also this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or the CFPB, is the federal agency that was created as a result of the Dodd-Frank Act, which, mm-hmm. of course, you know, resulted from that crisis. And they've done some fantastic work on mortgage lending.
One connection that I really want to make is I think one of the things that happened with the mortgage foreclosure crisis was that borrowers who really had been victims of predatory lending became much more comfortable talking about their situation because the national dialogue on that made people aware of the fact it wasn't just them. It wasn't an individual person taking out a loan that far exceeded. The predatory nature of a lot of the mortgage lending really became part of the conversation mm-hmm. in a way that I think really helped the advocacy that's been done in that area. And I think an important thing we're trying to accomplish with this conference and in talking about these issues is to get that same kind of dialogue going with respect to these short-term loans, that people really are victims of some predatory acting, which I think has happened more because it was so widespread and, you know, was spoken about differently, I think, in the mortgage crisis than it had been before.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, the idea that, you know, there's a tension between sort of like your individual responsibility in managing your finances, but sometimes it's just not that life is not that easy. You know, people's choices are really constrained, you know, especially for folks who are working 2 and 3 jobs, still can't make ends meet. You know, it's not just all about sort of, well, you didn't do your research, you didn't, you didn't make the right choice. The sort of lending practices make it really easy for people to access money when they really need it, and then it makes it really hard for them to pay that off.
But as far as home mortgages, they kind of make us realize how broad,
absolutely,
how many different lending mm-hmm. areas this actually does affect.
Absolutely.
Well, just how widespread a problem is predatory lending? I mean, how big of a problem is it?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
The data from lots of these different organizations have numbers that are pretty staggering. I think 12 million Americans take out payday loans on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. I think that's from Pew. Car title loans, the most recent figure I have, 2 million people, approximately 1% of American adults, use high interest automobile title loans annually. So it's a big problem. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has highlighted these areas of just affecting, you know, many, many people. So they're
right,
large problems in our economy.
Right. Several of the organizations that gather data, Pew Charitable Trusts, the American Consumer Federation, the Center for Responsible Lending, all of these organizations will be represented at our conference. You know, when you look through their data, what you see is that billions of dollars are spent by Americans every year, billions and billions, in the tens of billions mm-hmm. of dollars, on paying back fees and paying interest. And, you know, if those fees and interest rates could be made more manageable for people, you know, that money could be spent elsewhere in the economy or used elsewhere in the economy. So, you know, it doesn't just cost individuals a lot. It costs society actually quite – it's very expensive for us as a society to have, you know, that money put into that – you know, put into the fees and the interest payoff as opposed to back into the economy.
What about the area of student loans? What problems are we seeing there?
Right. So student loans, you know, student loans have really been in the spotlight lately because student debt is just getting really unmanageable. And part of the reason for that is that the cost of higher education, even public higher education, is skyrocketing. But we won't talk about that. That's a separate
okay.
issue. But the kind of predatory student lending practices really involve third-party lenders, so these are not government loans. These are not, you know, student government loans, but really involve private third-party lenders who are kind of partnering up with for-profit institutions and colleges, universities. So, you know, someone will apply to enroll in one of these for-profit colleges or universities, and as part of that, they'll be sort of here. You know, you can finance your education. Here, we're going to direct you to this financing agency, and there they take out a loan with very, very high interest and with sometimes very problematic collecting practices. And in fact, this was so prevalent that the CFPB, the federal agency, recently actually filed a lawsuit against Corinthian College, which was a for-profit university, in part for collaborating with these third-party lenders. And Corinthian, as a result, has since shut down because of this. So, you know, these practices are really also targeted. They have a disproportionate impact on, of course, sort of lower income communities and communities of color. And some of these practices are even targeting service members overseas as well as veterans. So it's pretty bad.
And we wanted to put in our conference, we have a panel on payday lending. Then we have the one on predatory student loans, and then we have the one on car title loans, because actually a lot of the practices are very similar, the predatory nature of those, and we wanted people to really actually kind of start to think of those things as not necessarily so different from each other. They're all a form of predatory lending.
Mm-hmm. If a consumer has been a victim of predatory lending, what recourse do they have?
Well, we keep mentioning the Consumer Financial mm-hmm. Protection Bureau, because it's actually a federal agency that truly is working to
but
make
But you could file a complaint with them?
Absolutely. You can. They also collect people's stories online. We'll be talking about different ways that people can get involved using some of the resources that they have. They have people who answer your questions. Mm-hmm. There are also excellent organizations like Policy Matters Ohio in Columbus. There are other organizations that have a lot of information on this kind of lending.
Right. We actually, I'm not sure, I can't remember if Kristen mentioned this, but at our conference, we're in our community building room, we will have a story booth that we're setting up actually to encourage borrowers to tell their stories, you know, in part to sort of build support and community for people. And as Kristen mentioned earlier, you know, to kind of replicate what's happened with the foreclosure discourse, to kind of broaden it and to really open up the conversation to bring borrowers into it, because they are, after all, the ones who are the most directly impacted.
Do you have a legal recourse, or do most of the lenders to say you have to go to arbitration?
Oh, that's a great question.
Well, because so much of what's being done is not illegal,
it's hard to take it to court.
Exactly,
even civil level,
because it's not. It seems wrong on every level.
There actually has been, at least I know of, one lawsuit that's been filed in a car title lending case. And, you know, one of the things that happened was that there was, you know, a motion to compel arbitration. Because, of course, in a lot of these consumer contracts, there are arbitration clauses in those contracts that require arbitration. And that can have that there are a lot of downsides of arbitration for consumers. So, again, that's a whole nother topic that, you know, we could get into. But yeah,
and there are abuses in what you can do to try to collect. So many of these borrowers report threats, telling their family, arresting. I mean, things that are not necessarily viable threats. But there are things you can do in the collection practices that do violate other kinds of laws,
other
collection
laws.
Practices.
I'm talking with University of Cincinnati Law Professors Emily Ho and Kristen Kalsom, and thanks to Dana Johnson for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. So how do you protect yourself from predatory lending? What are some things you can do to avoid this?
That's a
big
question. So I think that, you know, one of the things you can do is call your state rep, legislator, to express your feelings about predatory lending. And, you know, you can always get involved in sort of the democratic process. But it's, you know, it's really hard for folks who – the problem is precisely that if you cannot get a small dollar loan short term from your bank
– you don't have too many choices.
You don't have too many choices. And if you can't – you know, if you can't get a credit card because of your credit, you just don't have a lot of choices. And that's part of the problem.
There are certain kinds of alternative financial products out there, not nearly as prevalent as there should be, but there are going to be a couple of people at the conference who are really talking about how to make these more available, where you could get a short-term loan that, for example, you could have a longer period of time to pay back? Because that's oftentimes the problem. It's a big balloon payment due in 2 weeks of the entire thing,
right,
or roll over the whole loan. Whereas if you could borrow your $350 and be able to pay it back over a 6 month or an 8 month period, that would be much more manageable. And there are organizations who are trying to get more of those kinds of loans available. We know from talking, Emily and I have been doing community-based research on this for about 3 years. So we've talked to a lot of borrowers. And I also think that some people do take out the loan in the first place, thinking they understand kind of how they might get caught in this debt trap, whereas many of them have said, if I had had any idea that this kind of thing was going to happen, they might have at least sought different alternatives before. I mean, they make these very appealing. Do you need extra money for Christmas presents? Do mm-hmm. you? We have had many people talk about the fact that they've gone to borrow $200 and are told, well, you know, you could really afford to borrow $400.
You're eligible to borrow $400. Yeah. Why don't you take $400 out just in case so you can cover everything?
So the $400 that probably ends up costing them $800 at some point?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fees.
Yes. That they'll have to keep extending on. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess the main thing, Kristen, is it's an awareness thing. You just have to keep your eyes open and be very careful of what you're getting into and to educate yourself.
Right. And there are also some banks are also beginning to make small dollar short-term loans available to people because, you know, I mean, the problem for banks is that, you know, this kind of loan, a manageable small dollar loan, doesn't generate the kind of profit that they make on their other products, on their other loan products, credit cards and things like that. But some banks are starting to do this, and the federal government through the CFPB has put out there a regulatory proposed framework, a regulatory framework for making it easier for banks to make these kinds of loans to people so that they don't have to go to the payday lender or the car title lender.
What are some resources you can use to educate yourself about this? Does CFPB, do they offer a site?
They do. They have a wonderful website, which I'm sure we can get on your website for people to get to. Come to our conference.
Please give us the info on the conference one more time, too.
We title it, What You Should Know About Payday, Car Title, and Predatory Student Loans. And we're actually excited ourselves because—
That's on the 6th, right?
It's a week from today.
To be honest, we've invited some of the biggest national players and statewide players here, and they're delighted to have a platform here in Cincinnati because we actually have a really big problem here, and there's not necessarily an organization. There are many people who are interested in this topic, but we don't have a coalition or a group that's specifically focused on addressing these issues. So many of these people have offered to come. They're bringing some of the additional people from their organization, paying them to come. So there's going to be a lot of really good information here. Borrowers in the community building room, we're also going to have places where people can anonymously give information. So if people don't feel comfortable sitting down and audibly telling their story, there are going to be lots of different ways for them to get information about their experience to people who can possibly use it in an anonymous fashion also.
Also, the CFPB will be proposing a payday lending rule in a couple months. And what that means is that the rule will be then open for public comment. This is required under federal law. So is it a 60-day?
90.
I always get that wrong. Yeah, there's a 90-day period for public comment. And so, you know, people can use the website to comment on how strong they think the rule should be, to look at the proposed rule, to comment on it. And we're going to really try to encourage people to do that. That's a really important process.
Well, Kristen and Emily, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for having us.
University of Cincinnati Law Professors Emily Ho and Kristen Kalsom. Next Friday, UC is hosting Dodging the Debt Trap, What You Should Know About Payday, Car Title, and Student Loans. And you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org. Coming up, if you're looking for a good party, be patient. One could pop up near you very soon. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.